Hi and welcome back. This is episode number 297. Today, my guest is Faye Sagid. She is the HR director of Uploan, which is a prominent fintech here in Manila in the Philippines, which offers payday loans for the working population. I have Faye on the show, though, because she's somewhat of a HR guru. She has worked for nearly, I think, half a dozen prominent Southeast Asian startups. She's taken teams from 10 people up to 400 people in 1 year. She's been the HR lead for most of these roles, and she really knows what it takes to build effective teams fast. So there's a lot of lessons we can learn here and transfer into building offshore and outsourcing teams effectively, and of course also optimizing and managing the Filipino culture. There's a lot of really good nuggets of information in here if you're looking to build a team in the Philippines or already have a team in the Philippines and want to get the best out of them. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. Faye, I want to start just by asking the situation. Of course, we're in the midst of coronavirus. What does remote work mean for you in the context of HR, in the context of managing teams, in the context of managing culture, and you know, keeping everyone happy in the office? What does remote work mean for you in the context of all of these changes that have gone on?
Actually, one thing I noticed, at least in the HR space, is that colleagues of mine, other HR professionals I've been in touch with during the lockdown, they've been getting really creative, you know, and looking for ways to get people engaged, people to get aligned in culture, even down to like having changes in onboarding, basically because this is something new for most people. In startups like where we are, and in the past startups have been, we're pretty much used to remote work. We even had like a bunch of our team members in my past company sitting in another country outsourced. So they're pretty much used to being away from a physical office, but I'm pretty sure like for most companies now, this is something new. And I would say HR are also frontliners, having to deal with a balance of business and also safety. So the less people you have in the office, of course, there could be like some impact operationally. So there's a balance between it, and HR has always been, you know, the people that people are looking at right now during the situation. So I think one of the things that I would really want to emphasize for HR professionals out there, that they have been like the core of this whole crisis for most companies, for sure. And in terms of like me personally, in my experience, culture engagement and overall like talent management wise, having to do this remotely, we managed to first, I think one of the first things I would say that they have to manage when it comes to this kind of work arrangement is communication. It might not be something that again is structured already for most companies, but you have to start learning how to reach out to other people, how to manage your meetings, how often do you have to do town halls given this new setup. One example, communication. Before, you just nod someone and have a 5-minute chat about something. Now you have to set a 30-minute to an hour worth of call or chats to settle a few things. So it's totally different. So if you manage to have like a certain structure on communication, that's the very first step. And I think that's one thing that has to be like rolled out, especially currently in the lockdown and having to have people remotely working.
So Faye, I've got you on the show because you're an HR guru. You're currently the HR director of Uploan.
Yes.
But you've got a stellar career in what is effectively all of the leading lights of the Philippine and Southeast Asia startup scene. Do you want to just give us a bit of background and an overview of your career, the companies you've worked for, and what you've learned from those?
Sure. I actually got into startups right after my stint in one of the biggest FMCGs here. They were the number one manufacturers for biscuits and noodles in the Philippines. So I guess like people listening probably know the brand already. But after being a recruiter there, I moved into this in-house. It's a captive call center in Makati. So we grew the team from 10 to 400. The company is called Vocus. It was acquired by another company in the US. So they decided to pull out the business here. But basically, we were in charge. That's when I got exposed in the entire like employee life cycle. So from onboarding, employer branding, the overall EVP, basically, even policies, nothing was there when we joined. So that's how I basically got exposed in startups and building things from ground up. After that, I moved to Zomato. When I was in Zomato, there was also just about 10 people there, including the country manager. And I was the one leading expansion. So I started with just like hiring, a hiring role, and then eventually took over on HR and as well as operations. So I was also handling partly the launch for deliveries. And then one thing led to another. There were some consultancy in other startups as well, namely Shopee. I was also with First Circle for a time with a fintech. And I think now with Uploan, it's pretty much the same as what I was doing in First Circle. It's a fintech company as well. But my company before Uploan was actually the most interesting one. I was able to handle and got exposed into HR for the entire region. Not just Southeast Asia, we were actually also present in Brazil. So imagine like all the way in the other side of the world. But that was really exciting because you get to be exposed in differences and how you handle cultures, not just in Southeast Asia, but also in Western countries. We were actually hiring, we're not limiting our hiring to just the region in Southeast Asia, but also outside the region as well, because that's where like the tech talents are. So one thing that I could probably say that I learned throughout that HR stint would be diversity and how important inclusion is with that. There has been a lot of learnings in terms of like how we align cultures and how we kick off teams when we expand into different markets, which is an entire like different, it's an entire different ballgame. You just can imagine how important that is, having to build culture, having to build teams from ground up. Especially when you're sitting in one office and doing it remotely. So I think those are like the core learnings I've gotten from the last companies I've been in.
And you've built these huge teams and you've done it many times over now, and startups are pretty chaotic places. They're pretty frenetic places. And I think startups, you know, if they're quite well funded and they're really high growth, they don't actually really know themselves anyway. They're kind of building their identity as they go. How long did it take you to build a team from 10 to 400 people? What kind of time was that?
For Vocus, it took us about a year. We maintained the number to 400 for the next 3-4 years at the time. But I would say in the first few years or months, you have to identify the core team. So we may say that we have, 400 total in headcount. But we started by building at least 50 people who would help us to build the team from ground up. May it be from operations or HR specifically, of course, because we would want to grow in terms of headcount. That's like one of the core teams that or core people want to identify for you to be able to establish like a really good kickoff or a really good culture alignment when you build a team, when you build a startup.
And I think there's so many transferable points and points of knowledge here, because you know a lot of business owners come to the Philippines to set up teams, and the businesses, you know, in their home countries can be maybe small, maybe big, but generally the growth of the outsourced teams is pretty fast. And then it's about really instilling the right culture from day one, identifying what the culture is, putting in strong pioneer management that can then grow and expand the teams. Now, I don't think, you know, there aren't that many accounts that grow at that speed, up to 400 people, but there's a lot of the same principles that can be applied.
Yes. One of the things I learned from, his name is Martin Gonzalez, so he's the HR director for Asia Pacific for Google. I met him a few times as one of the Kickstart mentors for their portfolio startups. And one of the things that he said when they're starting a new market, when they open Google to a different or a different country, is that they actually send some people there to be like the culture leaders or flag bearers whenever they venture into new markets. And they are the ones, regardless if it's related to their role or not, they have to interview those people. They have to filter them. They have to be exposed to the fresh hires, or the new hires in that particular team, because they have like the initial DNA of the culture that can easily be instilled to other people. So that's how like one of the biggest companies we know around the world has done it. So it's something that maybe some other companies can also apply.
Now, we all know the textbook answer to culture is, you know, it's the mission, it's the vision, the values. But what do you really see culture as being? What do you distill it down to?
So when you talk about culture, it's not just something that's defined by, one common misconception is that it's defined by founders, how they want to see their teams grow, what kind of values do they want their high-performing employees or team members to be showing. But basically, this is, I would say, culture is a work for like an entire core team. It's not something that just one, two person can define. It's an entire team's definition of what makes them different, what drives their team, and what common values they have as a team working like you know, like a well-oiled machine. So in some companies, how they do it in terms of defining and having an aligned culture, they do some FGDs, they do surveys, they have for example keywords and key phrases they get out of like employee pulse check surveys that describes basically how the team works and their overall dynamics, and they go from there. It can go from a short list of like 5 to 15 values. It doesn't matter, for as long as there's like one key definition of what their culture really is. And there are a lot of like resources that you can probably find in the internet. One of the most famous one would be Netflix. I'm pretty sure you've seen like the leaked slides of their culture definition, and it's very thorough. It could be quite scary for most people when they see it, but you know, like it's what defines them. Having freedom and responsibility, which is actually pretty good for some, you know, high growth startups.
We get a lot of clients who are seasoned business people, and there are differences in appreciation of the need of not just culture, but in terms of how to manage teams, how to inspire teams or people. And some people don't see it quite as necessary. Equally, you know, there might be other business owners that have an incredible culture, have an incredible environment in their home countries, and then they come to outsource and think, you know, these are just contractors, we just want to get the work done, do I need to be bothered with any of that? How do you, you know, and you've managed international teams, international companies crossing the globe, how do you manage differences in sort of standards and international I suppose values?
Like I mentioned, like right now with our current setup, you have to start thinking of a good communication system, and that's the best way for you to like imply your culture. Having like a really good communication stream across the company, regardless of where they are. Another would probably be transparency. A lot of the companies have been missing on sharing for example, OKRs or their goals, their targets, and changes and structures. I think for people to understand their culture and their overall value altogether, they have to understand what's going on with the company as well. So I think communication and transparency would be really key. And lastly, hiring. I think if you mentioned about companies having to outsource building their teams outside of their like headquarters or home countries, it could be hard, yes, but like I mentioned, how Google does it, they have like a very thorough recruitment process. Regardless of which country they're going to, it's the same method for them to be able to filter and be able to like bring in the right people, culture fit, along with their flag bearers in certain markets. So I think those are like the three key things that they have to think about when they want to be like be able to expand and be able to imply their cultures even further.
And you have a company culture, which ideally is obviously united, but then you have different country cultures. You know, you have different sort of ways of communicating, different ways of doing work. How do you have any sort of insight into managing different teams across countries and then embracing the cultural differences and the norms of doing work?
One example is Snapcart. So in Snapcart, we had four founders for all four different nationalities. All in all, when I was there, I think the most different nationalities we had altogether in total population was 16. So we had people in 16 different nationalities, 16 different countries. And it was tough because, again, most of them are also working remotely. So one of the things that we did is include some kind of talk with our CEO about the culture of inclusion in our company. One of the things that is very visible to us is that we are very diverse, and we're actually able to manage it quite well. But there should also be a certain level of openness to other cultures. Especially, for example, one good example would be Filipinos, actually, since we're here. Feedback could be very hard in a Filipino setup. Filipinos can be very sensitive, not just in receiving feedback, but also in giving it. They tend to be like very conscious of hurting other people when they give feedback. As opposed to when you're working with people, for example, Eastern Europe has been like, you know, very open. They're very upfront. They tell you, they give you feedback right away, constructive feedback to be able to get things done and for you to be able to improve. No harm intended though, but you know, it could be taken differently. So we try to build these kind of engagement activities, having to encourage people to talk to each other, regardless of what country they're going to be in. We usually pair people from different countries to be in their onboarding, to be asked to be onboarding buddies, so that they can be more exposed to like how other culture and these other employees work and how different it is from what they do. And just be able to adapt to it along the way. So those are things that they can do. There are a lot more. But basically the bigger and the more diverse your team is, surprisingly, the easier it is. You just have to be able to like communicate how important inclusion is and how you should be open to like how other culture and other team members work.
It takes an enhanced awareness, doesn't it? Because, you know, I think historically, maybe 30 years ago, you would just work with people from your town, from your culture, with your kind of way of talking, and everyone's kind of aligned. Whereas now, I think it's becoming an increasingly globalized workforce, and you're having to step around other people's cultures and ways of doing things. Another major aspect to that as well is with globalized workforces, we have time zones coming into play, we have asynchronous work, we have different tools and apparatus that help everyone do work. There are some workplaces that use Slack and, you know, sort of high frequency communications, and some others prefer email, some others prefer no Slack, no email and project management. How do you, what's your perspective on managing those kind of cultures and how you sort out or align people's different working styles?
Actually, this is something that companies should have probably done in the first place, but I think companies are being pushed to do now, regardless of what state they're in, because of our current situation with COVID. Like I mentioned earlier, you have to have a standardized communication line. So for us, even down to like how long or short meeting should be, how many participants should be there to make it more efficient. Those are things that you can standardize depending on your standards, how often town halls should be, what kind of like Q&A platform can employees reach out to whenever they have concerns. So these are things that probably should have been done like very, very early on. And I'll be honest, even our company is a bit late on doing this, but we are being pushed to be able to do given the current situation. And so I think that's one way to address also like differences on preference on communication and culture. And there are a lot of different platforms available. For example, for pulse check surveys, there have been a lot of ways to reach out to management other than just looking for people in Slack and email, and reaching out to HR. There are a lot of platforms already available for companies, and they just have to like be able to define like what their needs are and what specific platforms would be fit for their goals, for their culture.
A big portion of our audience is either out there looking to outsource or they're already engaged with the Philippines and they're outsourcing to the Philippines or they're working in the Philippines. Do you have any advice for foreign employers? They're sitting somewhere overseas, they're connecting with the Philippines on some sort of, computer interface, they're not here. Any advice for those foreign employers to get the best out of a Filipino team, to build a team, and to get that team on board with their mission? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
One concept I saw in this is also from Google, WeWork, about psychological safety, making sure that people feel welcome. Your team members feel like they're being heard. If they make mistakes, it's okay. It's being corrected in a positive way. I think that's one of the best things that you might want to consider when you're hiring Filipinos. We have this term in Tagalog. It's called malasakit, and I think it's in English. It doesn't have a direct translation, but I think it's more related to showing care. One of the things that you would probably notice when you're hiring big teams in the Philippines is that if you show care, if you show malasakit to your team members in the Philippines, they would show care back to the employers. And that's always been prominent to big Filipino teams. So showing them, giving them psychological safety and care would go you a long way with the Filipino team.
We see this a lot. When we get new prospects or clients engaged with outsourcing, one of their sort of biggest concerns is, who are these people? Because you're really just connecting over Skype, or you don't really have a human connection. And the fear of the employer is, what if they rip us off? How do we know that, everything's secure? How do we know they're working? And, ironically, the biggest concern of the Filipino worker is, who is this person? How do I know I'm going to get paid? How do I know it's secure? So sort of ironically, it's sort of both people just need to be comfortable and know that there's, a valid professional relationship and develop that trust and respect for each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That again, that goes into like the whole concept of psychological safety, being able to, be comfortable and trust whoever you're working with. And again, it's a big concept that revolved around one of the biggest tech companies now, Google. And it's something that has been like around in the HR industry as well. To be able to implement psychological safety, it's a big step, but it's also very, very helpful.
So coming back to the movement towards remote work, the scene that's happening now, the BPO industry is a super established industry. It's been going 25 years. There's nearly 1.5 million people. Traditionally, they've all been working in offices, and now there's been this huge transition across to home and remote work. It's been very supported. The industry has coped very well. The government is very supportive of making all this happen. But there's significant changes, and the terrain is changing. Are there any considerations, you think, from an employer point of view, from setting up teams, in terms of what they need to think of going forward for this?
So one thing that we did going into the lockdown is providing everything that people might need for them to be able to work properly at home. May it be their laptops, headsets, and I think in other companies they've even provided furnishings for their home offices. I think the employees being able to get that kind of support from their employers is one big thing. They feel like, okay, we're still responsible. They're still supportive of our productivity, and they're trying their best to be able to help us while working remotely. In BPO, I think they've always been open to having people in the office still, because it's a big industry in the Philippines, as we all know. And it, again, like I mentioned earlier, it should always be a balance of business and safety for employees. They should always consider having probably to split employees 50% working remotely and at home, not forcing everyone to be in the office. Provide like all the necessary care they can provide, accommodation, regular testing even. And again, like I mentioned earlier, I've been talking about this a lot, communication. There's really no best way to imply safety and care if you have not been communicating to your team. So just communicate to them more often and tell them that, okay, we're doing all these steps to be able to help everyone, keep their jobs, be able to work properly, for as long as they also like give back with productivity and support to the company. So these are major things I've been seeing in BPO industry. We have also been opening our offices already. We were not part of the category of the BPOs, but since we're now in GCQ, we have been gradually bringing more people back in the office. So support we've been providing would be like free lunch in the office every day, making sure they have shuttles going to and back from office. Not exposing them to public transportation, and for some people, accommodation as well. It could be expensive, let's be honest. But again, it's a balance of being able to make sure that your team members, your employees are safe, and also being able to sustain your business.
And just for some context for overseas listeners, the lockdown here in the Philippines has been one of the longest lockdowns in the world. Yeah. It's been going about 4 months now. Good on them. They're very proactive conservative in terms of their returning back to normal. And they're very protective of people, of the labor force. And if people are returning back to the office, then there's a lot of standards to adhere to, a lot of requirements. And as you say, you know, there's obviously the social distancing in the office and trying to keep the staff away from public transport services. Potentially, a lot of the BPOs are housing workers near the facilities. So there's a lot of guidelines and standards. And I think just to put it in context again, it's not essential for outsourcing clients to worry about this, because that's the role of the outsourcing supplier. But it's good just to be aware of the current situation.
Yes, and again, like this would be like the role for the outsourcing companies, specifically those handling HR. So I mean, again, there have been a lot of HR forums, there have been a lot of HR groups sharing ideas already, so it might be worthy joining
those. We've seen
as well
a
see, like,
huge
some
move
ideas
from
on how they've been able
the office
to
home base, you know, and there's all these kind of Silicon Valley thought leaders like Twitter and Facebook and Google, and recently Toshiba in Japan with 80,000 workers have all said to some degree, you know, you do not need to come back to the office ever. What are your thoughts? What are the pros and cons of permanent home-based work?
For me, I think people have been getting used to it. So at first, it kind of stresses people out, not being able to like come into work for most roles. For example, for admin, most of their stuff are still in the office. They've been having a hard time having to compile some of their work. If their job is heavily reliant on physical presence in the office, or say their manufacturing plant or whatever, that would be really hard. But for companies who are like amenable on working remotely, I think this has been like a really good test again on building trust and communication to employees. So for these companies to be able to say that, it only means that they have been like able to roll out a really good way to communicate and you know, like implement and set goals, even if they're not working together in an office. It's something that I think is inevitable, especially at this point. We would be going back to the office for sure. There would be chances for us to be able to go back once all this is over. No one just knows yet when, but that's one thing that you should always be able to consider. That's the new, it's a phrase that's always been used nowadays, but it's the new normal. And like I said, if you're not used to it by now, I don't know when you'll be ever be ready to this new normal setup. Because especially for in the Philippines, we've been in this scenario for like again 4 months now. So if you have not been ready of this kind of setup by now, it'll be even harder for you if in case this goes longer. So I'm totally up for it. If people are amenable working in the office, I think you just have to be more thorough in terms
of
how communication works within your company.
HR. What do you think the long-term implications are of sort of a generation that is permanently work from home? You know, if this was an experiment that went on for the next 20 years and there were no more offices, it would sort of markedly change how the sort of juniors become senior executives in company and how they kind of absorb information and discipline and processes. How do you think it would all kind of academically pan out if working from home became the new norm?
One thing that would definitely be affected in terms of like overall company metrics would be attrition. If people have been working remotely and they have been just setting, let's say, goals without as much social interactions, without as thorough engagement compared to when we were sitting in the office, it could be that employees are just going to be focused on getting like one, two things done when they're done with it and find something else that's more interesting. It's going to be much easier for them to move. There were no like emotional connection. There were no like, you know, connection and friends beyond just work in the office anymore, because there has not been as much interaction. There would be people who has not even seen like anyone in their company throughout their tenure. That can happen. And you know what's scary is that again, there's not much connection for them to think twice if they get another opportunity. But again, that's where HR has to be more creative. They have to adopt and they have to start thinking about
how to build engagement and culture alignment, even if people are not next to each other physically. Everyone is always sort of taking the work from home angle and always lobbying to work from home. And I think primarily, it's because traffic is so bad, commute times are so long. But on the other side of the equation, Filipinos are very community oriented. Mm. They generally, obviously, if it's a nice workplace, they enjoy their colleagues, their work environment. And I'm just sort of a little bit sad for the future if there's a sort of future of isolation and the normal becomes, to just work from your home for your 40-year career.
Yeah. Imagine how Filipinos love Christmas parties, and as early as now, we're thinking of how we're supposed to do our year-end party, having to sit down in our own homes remotely. So things like this, it's gonna be really, really tricky. But again, I think HR people, I really admire the creativity and a lot of the suggestions that I've been seeing from different forums, different groups on how to handle it. And yeah, I think it's gonna be quite sad, especially me. I mean, I'm in a field where I usually talk to people face to face every day, and then from the beginning of this quarantine, I have not talked to anyone besides my husband here at home for an entire 3 months. It's hard, let's be honest, but I think it's, again,
yeah,
it's,
it has
it's
an impact on mental health, doesn't it? It's not just about having crises, but it's about feeling fulfilled, feeling like you're going somewhere in your life and having that interaction, especially when you're sort of in the formative years of your career. It's absolutely critical, isn't it?
That's very true. That's where managers also come in. If you have a good communication plan to your team throughout the quarantine, I think one of the key things key people that's involved into that communication would be the direct managers as well, having to touch on their teams, being able to know their struggle besides just work, because again, mental health will be a big deal also at this time.
If people, so again, bearing in mind that this is a sort of outsourcing audience, a lot of the concerned business owners and managers are sitting overseas. What are the options for people if they have a team in the Philippines and they want some extra, love and attention, or they want some professional advice? Are there human resource consultancies that you'd recommend, or how would they kind of get a dose of, are we on the right track here?
Mm. There were a lot. Actually, since the beginning of the lockdown, there have been a lot of mental health clinics that ventured into offering their services online. You just have to book for one-on-ones for your team members. They even have free webinars along with that for your entire team. So those kind of stuff were available now. One company I think I can mention is Infinite Care. We've used them for our team members in the Philippines as well. So we acquired a couple of webinars for mental health. And then we also have it's a first come, first served basis, one-on-one with mental health professionals. So that's one way you can do that. Another is one thing we also are going to be doing is sending some care kits to employees. We're gonna send them some masks, some PPEs, gloves if they need to go out. We've also offered some monetary help if in case some people are really struggling, having some changes on the payments on their electricity as well. It's always been a big issue, but utilities at home, having to be working from home, we have been open and communicating and talking about some short-term loans and financial help for our employees. So these are things you can always offer them. And again, this boils down to being able to communicate what you have, what you can offer. being able to like show them that, okay, these are things that we have been looking into to be able to make sure that you guys are secured. More than that, I think one thing that triggers the working population in the Philippines would be their job security. So there have been a lot of people stressing about, okay, do I still have my job by tomorrow? I don't know what's going on. A lot of people have been losing their jobs. Is my company next to be laying off? So in line with communication, again, there also has to be transparency, being able to show probably your company on, okay, this is still where we're at. We're still at par at our targets. There's nothing to be worried about would help in a big way in securing mental health for your teams.
Yeah, that's very valid, isn't it? People tend to get pretty spooked here pretty easily. And again, as you say, it's just critical to have that communication, have that sort of interpersonal connection and just assure people. And it's tough for everyone. You know, it's tough for business owners. It's tough for the home team. So, but just it's critical to keep that communication open. So beyond being an HR director for Uploan, you're also a co-host of a podcast discussing HR. What is that all about?
Fun? Yeah, so it's through Podcast Network Asia. It's called The Underpaid Podcast. We talk about anything and everything about work life. I'm the HR resource there. So my co-hosts are actually the ones representing the working population, and they usually ask me the common questions that people have when they're working. May it be like about final pay, or working from home scenarios during COVID, how to ask for an increase, how to nail an interview, so all that kind of stuff. They can follow the Underpaid Podcast in Facebook and Instagram. And we also have all our podcasts in Spotify.
And, you know, I think it's important for people, again, overseas to realize, and of course, people in the Philippines know this, but the Philippines has everything. People, when they're sitting overseas, they tend not to think that there's the same sort of depth of services and culture and everything. If you're building a team or have a team in the Philippines, there's any kind of resource. There's Facebook groups, there's consultancies, advisories, you know, there's everything in the Philippines that you can tap into as you would in your local market. And again, you know, there's a range of incredible podcasts and resources that will focus specifically on the Philippines and how to get the best out of your team. So yeah, it's all there in front of you. Thank you so much, Faye. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, they can email me through Fleur Sagid. It's my real name. FleurSagid@uploan.ph. We have plenty of openings as well. Uploan actually caters to HR professionals. If you guys would want to be able to, you know, offer short-term loans for your employees really quick and be able to manage it properly, we have services to be able to offer your employees that. So if you want to reach out, you can go to our website. It's uploan.ph, or reach out to me, fleursagid@uploan.ph.
And I'll put that in the show notes. And just as a side note for, again, you know, people listening overseas, payday loans, they're just such a common part of the terrain for most Filipino workers. There's very expensive loans out there. There's loan sharks. And it's just such a standard part of the terrain. And if your team haven't asked you about salary loans already, you know, it's probably just a matter of time, especially in Corona, especially as it comes up to Christmas. As a sort of employer or managing a team, it's something that should be considered. So Uploan is out there. This isn't a plug, but just ensuring that people have access to credit lines if and when they need them is a really significant part of running a harmonious team here, isn't it?
And given that we're all working remotely, the best way to do it is online. So we are also able to cater to loan applications online. So I think it's like right now it's the best way to consider having to extend this kind of help to your employees.
Absolutely. So all of that will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, Faye.
Thank you.
That was Faye Sagyd, the HR Director of Upload. If you want to get in touch with Faye or want to know anything about what we spoke about in this podcast, go to the show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us a line at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.